Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 14, the three modes of material nature, text number 22-25. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Prakasham cha Bhavritim cha Mahameva cha Pandava Nadvesti Sampravritani Ninivritani Kangshiti. Udasina Tvarasino Gunarayo Navichalyate Gunavartanti Ityevam Yovitishtiti Ningate Samaduka Sukhasvasta Samavastra Svakangshina Tuya Priyapriyo Diras Tuya Nandatma Samstuti Manapamani Oltu Yastuyam Rari Bhakshayo Sarvaramba Prityagi Gunakti Taksuchite. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O son of Pandu, he who does not hate elimination, attachment, and delusion when they are present, or longs for them when they disappear, was unwavering and undisturbed through all these reactions of the material qualities, remaining neutral and transcendental. Knowing that the modes alone are active, was situated in the self and regards alike happiness and distress, who looks upon a lump of earth, a stone, and a piece of gold with an equal eye, was equal towards the desirable and the undesirable, was steady, situated equally well in praise and blame, honor and dishonor, who treats alike both friend and enemy, and who has renounced all material activities, such a person is said to have transcended the modes of nature. So let's repeat that. That's purport in itself. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O son of Pandu, he who does not hate illumination, attachment and a delusion, when they are present, or longs for them when they disappear, who is unwavering and undisturbed through all these reactions of the material qualities, remaining neutral and transcendental, knowing that the modes alone are active, who is situated in the self and regards alike happiness and distress, who looks upon a lump of earth, a stone, and a piece of gold with an equal eye, who is equal toward the desirable and the undesirable, who is steady, situated equally well in praise and blame, honor and dishonor, who treats alike both friend and enemy, and has renounced all material activities, such a person is said to have transcended the modes of nature. Purport. Arjuna submitted three different questions, and the Lord answers them one after another. In these verses, Krishna first indicates that a person transcendently situated has no envy and does not hanker for anything. When a living entity stays in this material world, embodied by the material body, it is to be understood that he is under the control of one of the three modes of material nature. When he is actually out of the body, then he is out of the clutches of the material modes of nature. But as long as he is not out of the material body, he should be neutral. He should engage himself in the devotional service of the Lord so that his identity with the material body will automatically be forgotten. When one is conscious in the material body, he acts only for sense gratification. But when one transfers the consciousness to Krishna, sense gratification automatically stops. One does not need this material body, and he does not need to accept the dictations in the material body. The qualities of the material modes in the body will act, but his spirit soul, the self, is aloof from such activities. How does he become aloof? He does not desire to enjoy the body, and nor does he desire to get out of it. Thus transcendently situated, the devotee becomes automatically free. He need not try to become free from the influence of the modes of material nature. The next question concerns the dealings of a transcendentally situated person. The materially situated person is affected by so-called honor and dishonor offered to the body, by the body, or to the body. But the transcendentally situated person is not affected by such false honor and dishonor. He performs his duty in Krishna consciousness, does not mind whether a man honors or dishonors him. He accepts things that are favorable for his duty in Krishna consciousness, otherwise he has no necessity of anything material, either a stone or gold. He takes everyone as his dear friend who helps him in his execution of Krishna consciousness and does not hate his so-called enemy. He is equally disposed and sees everything on an equal level because he knows perfectly well that he has nothing to do with the material existence. Social and political issues do not affect him because he knows the situation of temporary upheavals and disturbances. He does not attempt anything for his own sake. He can attempt anything for Krishna, but for his personal self, he does not attempt anything. By such behavior, one becomes automatically transcendentally situated. So the verse again. Prakasham cha privitim cha moham eva cha pandava lidveshti sampratitani ninivritani kanshiti udasinadvarasinam gunayo vanavachayate gunavartanti idyevam yovatishtite nengate samaduka sakatva swasta samalastrasma kangshana tulya priya priyo dearas tulya nidatma samstiti manapamani o tilyastiya mrari pakshiyo savaramba prityagi gunati kaksuchite. Supreme Personality of God had said, O son of Pritha, O son of Pandu, he does not hate illumination, nor attachment, nor delusion when they are present, nor longs for them when they are absent, when they disappear, who is unwavering and undisturbed through all the reactions of the material modes of nature, qualities, remaining neutral and transcendental, knowing that the modes alone are active, who is situated in the self and regards alike happiness and distress, who looks upon a lump of earth, a piece of stone, a piece of gold with an equal eye, who is equal towards the desirable and the undesirable, who is steady, situated well, both in praise and blame, honor and dishonor, treats alike both friend and enemy, and renounces all material activities, such a person is said to have transcended the modes of nature. So Arjuna asked three questions. Does anyone know what the three questions were? Yes. Yeah, that's one. That's good.
And what is his behavior?
Yeah.
How does he...
Yes, very good. So, previously Krishna had said the same thing many times. Bhagavad Gita is a repetition of the same points again and again in different ways. Does anyone know in practically the same thing where Krishna said this previously? Who's a scholar of the Bhagavad Gita? Okay. Oh, that's pretty easy. Well, if we turn to the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Jnana Vijnana Triptatma Kutastha Vijitendriya Samalikdiyuche Lokchi Samalasarasma Kangshana Udasinavan Ari. Srinudau dasina madhyasa dvesha pandishu sadukshva pitra papeshu samabhudir vishishate. Translation. Jnana vijnana chiptatma kutasa vijitendriya ikte loshni samalostras makankshanaha. Jnana, what does jnana mean? Knowledge of what? Anyhow, it means knowledge, yes. And vijnana? Realize knowledge. You got the verse there? Ananta, it's 8, it's 6, 8. Yeah. Jnana vijnana triptatma. What does tripta mean? He said, I was taking a trip. What does tripta mean? Yeah, it's like rod, rodesty. I think they have rot here in Slovene. It must be the same thing, rot. Yeah, it is.
Be happy.
Like, yeah. Trip to satisfied. Kutasta, what is kutas? What does kuta mean? Kutas, actually, kuta means, kuta means from where, sta means situated. I think in probably Slovene the same thing. Sta means probably situated. Yeah, to stay, yeah, same thing. See, Russian and Slovene are practically the same. Just a different accent. So it means to be situated. So jnana vijnana triptatma kutastha vijitendriya. One who's situated in both theoretical and applied knowledge. And what do they see? Yukta ichutate yodi. What does yukta mean?
Connect.
To connect. Yeah. But with what? In what way?
Yoga.
Yeah. Yukta means one who's engaged in self, in some aspect of self-realization, trying to connect. Vijitendriya. Kutasta. Vijitendriya. What does vijaya mean? Vijit. What does that mean? Conquer. Indriya, who has conquered the senses. Yukta itute yogi, said to be an actual yogi. Sama. Probably the same thing in all languages, sama. What does sama mean?
The same.
Equal. Equal, so. What is it? Sama lostra. What does lostra mean? So we have another. Matra, sparshes, dukondiya. No, no. Matra. What is that now? Matra. Trying to compound his famous verse. What's that?
Responding.
Yeah. So it's.
Seeing all ladies as a
matter. Yeah, what is that? What is that? So, let's see, it's every lady except for one's mother. So, Matriva Paradareshu, Dari, Daru is, Daru is wife, Dara. Because it must be, adverse, Kalatra Dareshu, Kalatra, oh, Kalatra also means wife. Dara also means, Daru means wife. Matra, Matrivat, like the wife, like the mother, Matrivat, para dareshu, para all the others, dareshu, all the other, Aidara means woman, all the other women to be like one's mother. Vat means, van means have the qualities of, yanavan, having the qualities of knowledge. And so one who has not, one who's, Matrivat paradareshu paradvareshu lostravat. And here the same word is used, lostra. What does lostra mean? Probably usually translated as like garbage, but here it actually means like mud or something. Mud. What does it say here? Pebbles. Mud, actually, sometimes is usually mud. Earth, just like earth. And ashma means like stones. And kanchana? What's that? Kanchan is gold. What's that? Tanta kapchana gorangi radhe brinda vaneshri. Golden, golden, golden. Yes. So, it said that a person is said to be established in self-realization, is called a yogi or mystic, when is fully satisfied by virtue of acquired knowledge and realization. Such a person is situated in transcendence and self-controlled. He sees everything, whether it be pebbles, stones, or gold, is the same. So this is the symptoms. He sees everything. And then the next thing, where it says, Sarin mitya udasina madvastu dveshu bandishu sadushvapita papeshu samabhudir vishishite. Person is considered to be further advanced when he regards honest well-wishers, affectionate benefactors, the neutral, mediators, the envious, friends and enemies, the pious and sinners, all with an equal mind. So this is behavior. Seems like they're practically the same. One deals with the material energy, the other deals with relationships. So the symptoms of a self-realized person, he's not affected by the material nature, and his behavior, he acts equally towards everyone. And as he transcends the modes of material nature, it's amazing how Krishna is able to say the same thing over and over again. And it's almost like it's a new thing he's saying each time. So the next verse here says, Yogi unjitam sadatam atmanam rahisi sita ekakiyata chittatma nirashya aparigraha. Transcendentalist should always engage his body, mind, and self in relationship with the Supreme. Should be live alone in a secluded place. Should always carefully control his mind. Should be free from desires and feelings of possessiveness. So has Krishna say that one transcends the modes? Mukundavru. What's the process of transcending the modes? Take a guess. How do we transcend the modes of material nature? What do we do? How? The initials are DS. What kind of service? Yes, you got it. Mamanchayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samititayatan brahma bhuyaga kalpate. When it was engaged in devotional service and failing in all circumstances, at once transcend the modes of material nature and comes to the level of Brahman. So, just like if we're engaged constantly in devotional service, then we actually feel free from the modes. That's why going on Harinam is so nice, because for 2 hours, one has nothing to do but to engage in devotional service. It's hard to get into too much mischief. Unless you go window shopping on Harinam. Or you look at all the people, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. But book distribution is even better, because unless you're prepared to get run over by the people walking by, you have to put a little effort into it. I remember before we learned any techniques of book distribution, I was with two other devotees, and we opened a temple in Houston, Texas, the deep south of America. in the Deep South in America at that time, this is 1971, was not very friendly to anything different from, they were quite redneck, they call it. Now, Houston, Texas is right next to Vidor, Texas, the home of the Ku Klux Klan. Have you ever heard of the Ku Klux Klan? So their favorite pastime was they used to hang the black people. What's that? No, it wasn't. And they would probably like to hang a few Hare Krishnas if they could get their hands on them. In any case, we had no income, and people were not throwing money at us, especially in Texas. In any case, so we would have to go on book distribution. We didn't have books. So it was hard to distribute books when you had Ken. But we had Back to Godhead magazines. But there was one devotee who was quite popular at that time. His name was Vishnu John Maharaj. And he was a fantastic singer, very attractive devotee. But he had no idea whatsoever how to sell anything. He used to make flutes before he joined the movement as a hippie and sell the flutes for a living, because he had a wife and two children. So he had to support them by making flutes and selling them. Other than selling flutes, he had no idea. So he used to stand out downtown Houston with the Back to Godhead magazine open. He wouldn't say a word to anyone. And he got the number of sales that probably go along with not saying anything. He didn't do anything whatsoever. No one bought anything. The only one who knew how to sell anything was myself. And I wasn't so expert either, because we had no technique whatsoever, except for telling them, you know. I mean, people in downtown Houston weren't exactly interested in transcendence at that time. Matter of fact, the first time we went out in downtown Houston, the police arrested us immediately. And they were heavy. I mean, they didn't fool around, the police. I was chanting Hare Krishna, and the policeman came up to me. Well, I mean, I was under arrest in the police station. He said, if you don't stop that chanting, I'm going to hit you with my gun. And he meant it, too. Anyhow, it was an interesting place. We went out in Dallas. And the first time we went out in Dallas, we got arrested also. And the police took us into the police station, charged us with impersonating women. Because we had dhotis on. And someone called up that there are men out here impersonating women. There was no lesbian, gay, bisexual movement at that time. So we had to spend the weekend in jail. And then the trial came. I mean, they were serious. It was a big offense of impersonating women. But the woman came because it was at night, and therefore she couldn't recognize us, so they let us go. In any case, this equality is, or devotional service, is perfected in devotional service. If one is engaged in devotional service to Krishna, then the result is that one can remain neutral, because one can come to a different platform of experience in devotional service. If one is actually conscious of Krishna and his associates and their transcendental lila, then one is experiencing, as Prahlad Maharaj said, one enters into the world of happiness, of nectar. Naiva dvije para dharatya vaitaranyas. And Krishna says the same thing again in the fifth chapter. Exactly the same thing. Matter of fact, every chapter, Krishna is very consistent. He doesn't change the philosophy. He has such a good memory that when he was speaking to Arjuna, he didn't change the philosophy from one chapter to the next. Sometimes when you speak, arguing with someone, they'll say one thing in their argument, and then 5 minutes later they'll say something completely different. Especially if you defeat them. But in the fifth chapter, sixth chapter, every chapter, Krishna is saying the same thing. So in the fifth chapter, Krishna talks about the same thing. Tadbuddhyas tad atmanas tad nishtas tad parayanaha gajanyarpuna arvitim jnana nidhuta kamashaha. One's faith, one's mind, one's refuge are all fixed in the Supreme, then one becomes fully cleansed of misgivings through complete knowledge, and thus comes to the platform of transcendence. Hare Krishna. So by doing that, what does one see? Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmani Gavi Hastini Shuni Taiva Swapakecha Pandita Samadarshanaha. He sees with an equal vision the humble sages, by virtue of true knowledge, see with an equal vision the learned and gentle Brahman, the cow, the dog eater, and an elephant also. So, ihaivatarajita sarge yesham samye sitamanak nidosham hisamam brahma tasmat brahmani te sitaha. Those whose minds are situated, established in sameness and equanimity have already transcended the conditions of birth and death. They are flawless like Brahman and thus they are already situated in Brahman. So this equality, the first is called liberation. That's the first thing. And as one develops that equality, then it further goes into, well, Krishna explains the next verse. This is kind of like a reverse thing. First he says he sees everyone equally. Now he says he's equal towards happiness and distress, gain and loss, etc. But in this 14th chapter, he says first you're tolerant towards gain and loss, and then you see everyone equally. So one way or the other. Naprarishet priyam prapya no dvijet prapicha priyam stira buddhira samudo brahmavid brahmani stitaha. That one who doesn't rejoice when he attains something pleasant, nor laments when he attains something unpleasant, who is self-intelligent, unbewildered, and who knows the science of God, is said to already be situated in transcendence. Vayas parshe visaktatma vidyatminiya sukham. So Brahma Yoga Yuktatma Sukamakshayam Ashnute. Such a liberated person is not attracted to material sense pleasure, but is always in trance, enjoying the pleasure from within. In this way, the self-realized soul enjoys unlimited happiness because he concentrates on the Supreme. So the same thing, Mam Chayova. Engage in unalloyed devotional service, then naturally, spontaneously remember Krishna. You'll be absorbed in ecstasy and love of God all the time. Yam Shaima Sundaram Achintya Guna Swaruptam, the unlimited transcendental qualities of Krishna. And then you'll be, it doesn't matter what's going on externally, you'll be neutral to it. And that's the three things throughout the whole Bhagavad Gita. Just in the 18th chapter, Krishna elaborates it on a little bit more in his summary, that we should hear about him, we should become his devotee, we should worship him, we should surrender to him, we should give up all other things besides that, and then we should go out and tell people about Krishna, and then one will become very dear to Krishna. That's why someone can go, doesn't know anything about Krishna consciousness, can go on book distribution, distribute books, and they become completely ecstatic. Because it's not the activity itself, but the fact that Krishna becomes very happy because someone is doing it. He may be completely in ignorance of what he's doing, or not, but because Krishna is pleased by it, therefore he becomes ecstatic. On the other hand, we could try to hear about Krishna, and Krishna is also pleased by that, but he's not as pleased as when we're trying to distribute transcendental knowledge. Of course, if one can hear with rapt attention, then Krishna is... Obviously, he's quite happy about that too. But he's especially pleased when we try to distribute his knowledge to others. doesn't have to be with a book. We can just tell someone about Krishna, even the devotees. Tapta Kanchan, what is it? How does that verse go? Tapta Jivanam Kamala Sarpanam. What's the first word for that? Tavakatamritam, Tapta Jivanam. Tavakatamritam, Tapta Jivanam, Kamala Sarpanam, Atatam. That anyone who tells, the gopis are saying to each other, and anyone who glorifies Krishna, Tavakatamrita, anyone who tells about these nectarine pastimes of Krishna, Tavakatamrita, Tapta Jivanam. This is the actual life of the soul of the living entities, to talk about Krishna. That's all they do in Vrindavan. If you go to Vrindavan and you want to find out what the price of gold is, you went to the wrong place in the spiritual world. Or who won the World Cup. They don't know anything about that. All they know is Krishna. Tavakatamritam, Tapta Jivanam, Kamala Sarpaham. That this is one, frees one from all sin, to just talk about Krishna. Absorb the mind upon about Krishna and tell others about that. That's life. It's very easy. You don't have to worry about anything. Just tell people about Krishna. And everything is all right. Even if it's not all right, it's still all right. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions about Krishna? Yes.
Is it the same if we glorify devotees and Krishna, or Krishna and devotees, or what is?
Well, it depends with how you glorify the devotees. If you see the devotee in relation to Krishna and glorify them, then yes, it's the same thing. Devotees never, Krishna and the devotees are always connected to each other. Actually, we can't do anything, either material or spiritual, without Krishna. We're eternally dependent upon him. Therefore, the idea is that was where the jiva came from makes no sense, because the jiva is always with Krishna. He can't be separated at any time. It's impossible. It's like you can't separate the sunlight from the sun. They're always together. They're always connected. So the soul is always... But when we don't see that, that's called maya, that's all. We think there's some disconnection. Or we don't see Krishna in the equation. That's what maya is called. Anything else? Yes. We have two hands.
Hare Krishna. I was wondering, we are doing so much, I mean so much, we are doing Harinams and we are distributing prasadam and books, and a lot of people are taking books, and it is said that they had a benefit and they will benefit in their lives, maybe not in this one. And then I'm wondering how that in the end of Kali Yuga there will not be devotees, or this movement will be...
Well, there will be devotees. It's just going to be very difficult to sell books at that time. But there will be devotees. And they, after Kalki comes and kills all the little demons, there, I think if you're something like 1 meter high, you're considered to be a candidate for the World Basketball Cup. That's like the biggest people of those little guys. 1 meter will be quite large. After Kalki kills all the demons at the end of Kali Yuga, then there's devotees left over, and they're mostly in hiding. They're not, but then they come out and they start Satya Yuga. The devotees who don't get eaten by the little pygmies, they're very serious. You get a lot of serious devotees at the end of Kali Yuga, chanting very sincerely the Hare Krishna mantra. That's how Kalki, he comes from amongst those devotees, he comes, rides a horse.
Okay, there will be devotees.
Yes, there will be devotees, so you won't be lonely. But Prabhupada said we shouldn't wait around to see if the Bhagavatam is right about the end of Kali Yuga. It would be very unpleasant. Yes, you had a question too.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the lecture. I was wondering, when you were telling about this pastimes, when you were in Texas, what was your frame of mind, or what were you thinking in that time when you had all these troubles?
What was I thinking?
Yeah,
I was thinking about Krishna to save me. I mean, we didn't have karmi clothes. This is before people put on, we only wore dhotis. And you can imagine going to the most, what's called redneck place in the world, with wearing a dhoti. As a matter of fact, on the way down there, I was hitchhiking from Florida to Houston, Texas, which took me 3 days to get there. It was like 3,000 kilometers or something. So on the way down, I got arrested by the police and asked me, they in Alabama, in Arkansas. No, Louisiana, I got arrested by the police. They say, hey boy, why are you wearing a dress? Because they never saw it. There was no devotees at that time. They never saw it. And it was actually against the law to be a homosexual at that time. What to speak of a transvestite or something. So they had actually Vishnu Jai Maharaj and Srinath had actually gone before me, and they had actually arrested them, put them in jail for some time for wearing dhotis. So what were we thinking? We were thinking we were good, we were happy to be alive. I mean, that was really austere. I remember I was the only one who knew anything about how to sell anything. But I couldn't sell that much. I was just praying to Krishna to send someone. That was my technique. And someone would come and buy a magazine or something for me due to my prayers. That was my technique. And then we collected enough money so we could rent a place. But the house we bought was in winter by this time. The house was a wooden house, and you could actually see out the walls because there are holes in the wall. It was a wooden house. You can see out the wall, and it was cold. You know, it went down for centigrade. It went down to like 10 degrees centigrade, and it was colder inside than it was outside. And we bought gas heaters, and the gas heaters were like out of Auschwitz or something. We put them on, and it was like we were being gassed to death. So we had to choose between freezing to death or dying out of asphyxiation. It was quite an experience. We ate well, though. We knew it. Vishnu Jai Maharaj liked to eat, so we had no problem. We collected. Was it?
Who was it?
I was. No, I learned how to cook. Actually, I followed the recipe, so I was.
Did you cook the sweet rice with sand or something?
No. Well, we were actually, I followed the recipe exactly.
What was the place that you were temple president of, but you actually slept in the park in the bush?
Oh, that was in Coconut Grove. What's that? That's in Florida. Above Miami. There were no bushes. We just slept on the park. Next to the, I remember one time I was sleeping next to the railroad track, and the train came. Oh, that was another experience. We were cooking outside because we were making prasadam for the hippies who came by. We cooked chapatis on the grills, the karmic grills, mm-hmm. where they were frying their meat. We were cooking chapatis. And we were doing it every day. And one time a hurricane came. Oh, that was really austere, cooking during a hurricane. I mean, that was really cold for Florida, especially the rain and everything. Anyhow, the next day Krishna got us a place to stay in someone's car. We finally got it. Yeah, the early days was Krishna kept us in line. He didn't give us a whole lot of opulence. Whatever desires of sense gratification we had, we were quite restricted. That was the place, Garga Muni, if you ever heard of Garga Muni. It was Ramananda Prabhu's brother. He became a sannyasi. He was a sannyasi at that time. He didn't want to spend any money. Prabhupada used to call him Garga Money. He trained me up in how to be a treasurer. And Prabhupada said, you take in money from the devotees, but you don't give anything out. So that was his philosophy entirely. So he wouldn't spend any money on food, which is quite a problem. He only allowed us every day our the amount of food we could eat. Our meal for the whole day was two chapatis with a little bit of apple chutney inside the chapati. And after a couple of weeks of that, I was getting thinner and thinner and thinner. I mean, we were active the whole day, you know, on two chapatis. He did allow us, after we distributed the chapatis to the hippies, after we had a kirtan and a little philosophy, we were allowed to go out and see if the hippies left any remnants on the ground. We could eat those. And then we went on book distribution for the rest of the day. And if we came back in time, which we usually didn't, we were allowed to get 1/4 of a pint of sour cream and 2 bananas. That was our meal for the whole, that was what we ate. So when I finally arrived in Houston, Texas, Satsarup Maharaj, who's our GBC, whatever that meant at the time, which didn't mean anything, because they was, you know, we didn't use the telephone. It was like they were far, never heard, they couldn't give you any instruction because they didn't even know where you were. So he asked me to go and join Vishnu John Maharaj and Srinath in Houston. So when I got there, after hitchhiking for 3 days, I had no idea where they were. And I didn't have any money. I didn't have anything. The only thing I had was 1/4 pound of fried chickpeas with me. That's what my Garga Muni gave me to hitchhike for 3 days. But it was, I didn't like fried chickpeas, so I didn't eat them. So when I finally arrived in Houston after 3 days, I was so frustrated. Because there I was in this huge city of Houston, I had no idea what these devotees were. So I ate the fried chickpeas, the first meal I had in 3 days. And then I had no money to call up Satsarup Maharaj to find out where it was, where they were. But I got the idea maybe I should try and call collect. Maybe accept the charges, which he did. So then I found where Vishnu Jai Maharaj and Srinath were living, and I went there. I had to walk there. It was like, you know, everything took a long time to get to. Matter of fact, when I was in, after I got arrested by the police in Louisiana, I was trying to hitchhike from Louisiana to Texas, but no one would pick me up. So I had to walk for hours. I had to walk to Texas from Louisiana. I was walking, walking, and then finally some hippies picked me up because they thought I was a Buddhist. And they drove me to the Buddhist temple in Houston. So when I got there, I had no idea where they were. So finally I called up Satsarup Maharaj, and he told me where they were, and I walked over there. It took a long time. And then they were just serving prasadam at that time. And Vishnu Jai Maharaj gave me 7 chapatis. So I thought that, you know, two for each one of us. Maybe an extra one for me, because I just arrived. Because I hadn't eaten more than two chapatis for weeks. So, you know, he said, you could have all seven of them. And I said, wow. You know, very interesting pastimes at that time, at least. Maybe. Vishnu Dharmaraj, we had this hill there in Houston, Texas, and he had this idea, we're going to serve the Sunday feast to these hippies in the, on the hill. So every week we went out and he did kirtan, because he was really good at kirtan. And the hippies would gather around, we'd distribute prasadam. But his idea was, we made these huge chapatis, and we put each one of the, a little bit of the preparations in each part of the chapati and rolled it up, and then distribute it. So a little sabji in this part, a little sweet rice in this part. Well, yeah, we save money on plates, though. anything else? Khala Granthara Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.